Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
God bless everybody. I'm your host of OPP, Corey Cambridge. And before we get started with this amazing episode, I want to tell you about my other show, Silent Giants. Silent Giants is a podcast that highlights the superstars behind the scenes of popular culture. Ever wondered who made the MTV logo? Did you know the person who wrote Earth, Wind & Fire's hit song September also wrote the theme song for the hit 90s TV show Friends? On Silent Giants, we learn more about these amazing people and dig deep to learn more about their most famous works. Be sure to check out Silent Giants on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Now, let me introduce you to our special guest of OPP.
I'm Giannis Patelis. I'm the producer and co-host of the Meat Eater podcast, and this is OPP.
God bless everybody and welcome back to another episode of OPP, Other People's Podcasts, America's number one podcast discovery platform that highlights your favorite podcasters and the dope shows they created. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. Our special guest this episode is Giannis Patelis, producer of the Meat Eater podcast. Hosted by Steve Rinella, the Meat Eater podcast brings a deep and relevant look at all outdoor topics, including hunting, fishing, nature, conservation, and wild foods. Filled with humor, irreverence, and things that will surprise the hell out of you, each episode welcomes a diverse group of guests who add their own expertise on the vast world of the outdoors. In this episode, Giannis chats with us about life in Montana. He breaks down his role as producer of the Meat Eater podcast and the television show. We get his podcaster's picks, and of course, we get into his dope show, the Meat Eater podcast. So, allow me to introduce you to my homie, Giannis Patelis. All right, Giannis, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I want to start off by saying thanks for having me on, and also happy Halloween.
Yes. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and happy Halloween to you as well. How's everything in Montana, man? You have any Halloween plans?
I do. It's probably going to be one of the chillier, even though I grew up in Michigan, this is going to be one of the chillier trick-or-treating outings I think I've ever been on. We're going to be in the 20s this evening, and so everybody, all the kids are going to have their long handles, their long johns on underneath their costumes and, you know, gloves and neck gaiters and whatnot. I feel like in Montana, you really have to plan your costume accordingly. There's no costumes with shorts. Although that's not true, because my podcast engineer is sitting here with me right now. He's in a vest and shorts in his costume. It's a pretty clever costume. What was the name of it? It's the Doc Clawladay. Yeah, he's like a White Claw cowboy. Are you familiar with White Claw, the beverage?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, it's pretty popular around these parts. So he's like a cowboy that's got a little White Claw spirit to him. I'm dressed up as a cow today, and so is my wife, because our oldest daughter is a cow girl. So she will be herding us, and her younger sister is her faithful steed. So those two will be basically chasing and roping us all evening.
That is awesome. That is awesome, man. Well, I hope y'all have an amazing Halloween and a fun time trick-or-treating in that warm 20-degree weather today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. As long as the kids are having fun, we'll have a good time.
That's the spirit. That's the spirit. So you mentioned earlier that you're from Michigan. How did you end up in Montana?
Very roundabout way. I started my westwardly tour when I was 19, right out of high school, and showed up in Colorado and did about a dozen years out there, mostly skiing, and doing some hunting and fishing. But a lot of skiing, snowboarding, and met my wife. She's from North Carolina, but both of us happened to have some friends and whatnot that were in Colorado. And so we met in a roundabout way, too. That's a different story for a different time. But settled in there for a dozen years. And then not really on a whim, but my wife had finished, got her graduate degree, and we decided to go to Alaska for a year for a job for her. So we did that. And then we were in Salt Lake for a job for her for 2 years. And we were looking to get out of there. It was a little bit too much city for us. I know that doesn't mean anything to a guy that lives in Brooklyn that I could call Salt Lake even a big city, but it was for us. And so when an opportunity came up to move to Bozeman, which was for work for Meat Eater, the television show I produce, we jumped on it. And so that was 4 years ago now. So we're just about locals.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to say, you know, I live in the big city of New York, and you know, there is a booming, you know, media industry and booming podcasting industry that takes place here in New York, obviously. But what is it? What is the scene like as far as, you know, the television production world or the podcasting world in Montana?
Oh boy, I think it's small. Montana had a good run. I'm trying to think. It probably was mid 90s when A River Runs Through It came out. Do you remember that movie?
No, I don't remember that.
Brad Pitt, A River Runs Through It. Everybody wanted to go fly fishing after that movie came out, and that movie was filmed up here. And so after that, there was a big push. A lot of people wanted to make, you know, beautiful Western, you know, movies up in Montana. So I think that it was a hit movie. It gave it a good, you know, spur. Right now, though, you know, within the hunting and fishing crowd, I think there's a lot of, you know, small podcasts that are going off here. But as far as like a bigger media company like us, I don't want to say we're the only ones. I might just be ignorant of the other ones out here. There are some other smaller, other media companies, not necessarily smaller, but I'm trying to think of a couple of the names of them now. Grizzly Creek Films, Warm Springs Productions. So there definitely is some production out of here. But even though there are companies here, even for us, for Meat Eater, we have to hire out of L.A. and Chicago. We're always hiring photographers and producers from other places. You know, the pool's not that big here to choose from. But right here in the, you know, in our little studio here in Bozeman, we now have 6 podcasts that we produce out of here under the Meat Eater umbrella. So we're definitely trying to make something out of it here and make it a little, you know, a little podcast haven.
Yeah, I mean, man, I, you know, I'm going to be quite honest with you. You know, I come from a different side of the tracks. You know, I'm like a big city guy. I have a background in hip hop and hip hop music. So the things that I'm really familiar with are kind of based in like the urban space, but I'm very unfamiliar with the, I guess, rural America podcast audience. Tell me more about this audience and how it's growing and how it's adapting to the world of podcasting and media.
Man, you got a lot of good questions. I'm hoping I can give you some good answers for you. I mean, I can only really speak from our experience. You know, but I think that people were looking for a place where they can, you know, just hear more about their favorite activities, you know, and being hunting and fishing. And obviously hunting and fishing is not the only things that we talk about on our podcast. We're all over the place. You know, it really comes down to life is what we talk about mostly, you know. I mean, both of us, the host Stephen Rennell and I, have young kids, so we're always chatting about that. We have wives, you know, families. There's always a lot to talk about there. But I think that the audience themselves, you know, like any podcast audience, they just it's so easy to, you know, pull in information through podcasts and be entertained through podcasts. It's on everybody's phones these days. So like any group, you know, they're just looking for more of what they love. And it's easy to find it in podcasts and easy to consume it.
How did you become a producer of the show, and how did you get your hands involved in it?
Sure. And I apologize, man. Nothing, no, none of my answers are going to be traditional answers for you. So the listeners are just going to.
No, I love that.
it's the
that's
like
even
the,
better.
The road path less traveled. I got involved making Meteor Television first, and we have a position on the crew called a WPA, which stands for Wilderness Production Assistant. And the first time you come out as a WPA, you're basically there to haul gear and then help with general camp chores if we're in a camp style situation. So you're hauling, you know, extra cameras, batteries, tripods. You definitely have the heaviest load on your pack. And then when you get to camp, you know, you might be in charge of collecting firewood, getting water for everybody to drink, you know, making sure all the tents are set up and dinner while the production's going on, you know, with the talent and the videographer. So that was how I got in. And then as, you know, you're the consecutive trips down the line, consecutive shoots for the show, the WPA sort of turns into an assistant to the producer and the director, where you start to get a little more involved with the cameras. You might shoot on some of the cameras and shoot long lens and whatever. Long lens being the camera that we have that allows us to zoom in and get good, tight wildlife footage while we're out there. So that's how I got into production in general. And so I was on my way to becoming the producer of the show, and maybe 2-3 years into it, when Stephen Ranella, the host of the show, he was invited down to do Joe Rogan's podcast. At that time, Steve had never even heard of a podcast, let alone even, he probably had heard, everybody had heard kind of Joe Rogan, right? He was the Fear Factor dude back then. And, so he went down and did it, and to talk about hunting, Joe was kind of getting interested in hunting. They hit it off, and Joe said, you know, Steve, you ought to think about doing a podcast, man. I think you got a, you know, good voice for it, and, it, you know, something you could pull off. And so he came back to me and to 0.0 Production and said, man, let's try this thing out. And the gal I was telling you about earlier, Helen Cho, she was instrumental and putting that all together in the early days. And so, you know, we got a kit, outfitted ourselves out the best we could. It was maybe 2 months later that we were on another Meat Eater shoot. And we in the early versions of the Meat Eater podcast, we would just do a podcast every time we were on a shoot, because it sort of gave us some new context to talk, you know, some new ideas and themes to talk about. And I think we were in Ketchikan, Alaska, and I'm not 100% sure what we were hunting on that trip. Might have been sooty grouse, which is like a chicken-sized grouse that lives in the trees up there. Anyways, we're in a, don't ever stay at the Super 8 in Ketchikan, man. It's not, unless you like really like smoking cigarettes. If you like the smell of cigarettes, then it's a great place for you. Anyways, we were in there, and after the shoot, we plugged in our kit, and I did my best to make sure all the, you know, green lights were green and that the red record light was on, and we sat around and, you know, shot the bull for 90 minutes, and you know, that was the beginning of it. And then, so at that point, I don't know if I was really a podcast producer, but, you know, as we learned, and again, this was 5 years ago, approximately. So, 2013, 14-ish is when we started. There was some, but there wasn't a lot out there as far as, you know, information on how to do this podcast thing. Right. So we were learning as we went, and, you know, it's gone well, but that's kind of how I got into it.
Well, for the audience who may not be familiar, obviously Meat Eater is huge, but you know, I come from a totally complete demographic, so my audience could be introduced to this for the first time. Yes. Tell me about Meat Eater, and tell me about the Meat Eater network and brand overall.
Sure. Meat Eater, the television show, again hosted by Stephen Ranella. I like to describe it this way to someone that doesn't know anything about it. It's like outdoor adventure, usually involving hunting and fishing, with a very strong focus on culture, conservation, and wild foods. And the wild foods is the big one. We didn't go out and necessarily try to do something different from classic hunting media when we went out and made Meat Eater. We just kind of were doing what we had always done. And it turned out that the result of that was a lot different than what was out there at the time. And so that resonated with people, that like it was different, you know, and they liked what they were seeing. So yeah, a lot of hunting, but it always, like, along the way through sort of this journey you go through on a hunt, you're going to be learning about the place, about the people, about the history, natural history. And then once the animal is down, killed, however you want to put it, I don't want to offend anybody, but animals do die for you to eat them. So once we've killed an animal, we spend at least usually an act, which is anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes for the show, with butchering, breaking down the animal, and then turning it into, you know, some whatever we're going to make out of it, and then eating it. And, you know, if there's one thing that I hear a lot of, it's, man, just want to see more recipes, and we love it when you guys cook. And, you know, at the end, when you guys are cooking that stuff, it's so awesome to see. And again, it's nothing different than we've always done this stuff, right? That's how we grew up hunting and fishing, is that after you caught animals or killed animals, that you would end up eating them later, you know? And we just decided to take that to the screen. And now to the, you know, to the airwaves, so to speak. But, yeah, that's, pretty much Meat Eater, the television show. We shoot it all over the place, mostly North America. Every now and then, we'll go international. We've been down to South America a couple times. We've done a few New Zealand episodes as well. The brand itself, Meat Eater Inc., it gets a little confusing because we have Meat Eater Podcast, Meat Eater TV, and then we also have everything underneath Meat Eater, like the umbrella company. Sorry about that. But again, in a nutshell, it's media and consumer goods brand that is trying to fuel like a human connection to nature, if that makes sense. Like our goal here, 100%. We agree. We all believe that everybody could use a little more connection to nature, a little more, whether it's a sunrise, a walk in the park, whatever it might be, you know, watching some ducks, going and hunting some ducks, whatever it might be. We believe that all helps all humans out across the board, whoever you are. So how we're trying to do that is basically by creating content and experiences, and sort of like four core like verticals that we've identified, being hunting, fishing, conservation, and wild foods. And again, like, it seems like people come for the hunting and fishing, and that seems like to be like the hook, and then they stay for the conservation and the wild foods. You know, people just are really into the, maybe, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's sort of like the field to fork movement. We had a farm to table thing, and now there's this like field to fork thing. A lot of folks, you know, like they're getting into it because they want that end result of like cooking something that they themselves harvested.
Now, Giannis, you play a very unique role for any person that I've ever met in the world of podcasting, because I don't know anyone that I've interviewed thus far, or be quite honest, your skill set's so unique that I don't know too many people in the podcasting industry that comes from a television producer background to a podcast producer background, and bringing a podcast to television is a very unique skill set. What is the challenge of bringing the experience of the television show to audio?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't know if we actually, if I feel like we ever had any major challenges, so to speak. If anything, I think it's just they each kind of benefit each other. Like I said earlier, we would make podcast episodes from, you know, when we go out and did a shoot, and that's kind of one of the big problems when you're making television is that we go out there and shoot, you know, hundreds, maybe even 1,000 minutes of footage, and you end up with a 22-minute show, right? So there's a lot that you don't get to know and hear about that adventure that we had. You know, you just get the sort of focused 22-minute version of it, right? But now we were able to come out with, we always shot for 90 minutes, but it's like, I don't think we've done a 90-minute podcast in years. They're always somewhere between 2 and 3 hours now. But that sort of, that gave us that extra 2 to 3 hours to really try to cover. I mean, we still don't cover everything that happened in the week of while we were out making an episode of Meteor TV, but still you get a lot more details, and a lot of times we'll have, you know, more of the crew involved, like the videographers will be there in on the podcast to give their, you know, perspective on the experience. Yeah, it's been, I think it also makes it a little more intimate for our fans, where on the television screen, you know, the host and anybody that's on the show can seem a little bit distant and they're hard to connect with. With the podcast, obviously we still don't have really a real two-way dialogue with, you know, our fans on the show, but at least we can talk about things, and we get emails and letters. We don't get letters. Who am I kidding? We get emails and we get DMs. And so we answer those. And so it creates a little bit more of an intimate experience, I think, for the fans, because we can have a little bit more of a dialogue, you know, back and forth and talk about things that are on people's minds. So yeah, I would say it's been really mostly benefits for everybody all around. You know, it gives us a better idea of what's going on, and it gives the fan just a more, you know, intimate, entertaining experience.
I listened to the last episode that you all put out, and you know, you also have a speaking, you know, a you play a role in the show as well. How has that been for you, being a behind the scenes guy, to now people get to know you and get to know your personality as well?
Did you listen to the one, Phil? I'm gonna talk to my podcast engineer. Was the most recent one, was the one where I actually wasn't there. You caught that, right, Corey?
No, I didn't catch that.
Like this last episode that came out on Monday, I was away when they recorded it. I was away on a different assignment. And so the podcast engineer basically took 20-some sound ups from prior podcasts, and they basically just teed them up throughout the podcast. They teed up questions that they knew that these sound ups could answer. So you might have listened to a different one. It's quite funny if you listen to it and know that I'm not there. I'm there in spirit, as they say.
Oh, let me see which one I listened to. I'm going back right now. Hold on. But
it was pretty funny.
You were there. Hold on. But what has that been like for you, being a personality on the show?
Yeah, it's funny. Steve asked me the very first time we ever hung out. We were in a car driving on our way from the airport to a shoot, and he knew that I'd done some YouTube stuff on the side for fun, really. He knew that I was guiding a lot. I was doing some writing for a couple hunting blogs, and so he very in a straightforward way, offered me like the opportunity to, you know, try to do a show, or it was pretty much to try to do a hunting show. And I respectfully declined and just said, you know what, I'm just not that into the limelight. I can, you know, I'm happy sort of just being behind the scenes and making it all happen. So for 4 or 5 years, I was able to do that and keep my head under the radar. And I needed to, because I needed to learn. I had no production background whatsoever when I started working. So there was a steep learning curve, a lot for me to learn to become a television producer, and then consequently a podcast producer. So it was good. I tried just to stay under the radar. But as you know, with podcasting, it's like when you don't feel like you're putting your whole life out there, or even a good chunk of your life, even as the co-host, you feel like, well, I only talked maybe 10% of what the host did. But still, over the course of almost 200 episodes, a lot of your words, and you've sort of opened yourself up, you know, a lot. I mean, I get more people that will actually come up from behind me in the airport and go, "Hey, man, are you Giannis? I heard your voice." Like, I'll be ordering a coffee, and they'll be like, "Man, I recognize your voice," right? So,
yeah,
it slowly happened, and it's, you know, I'm cool with it. Like I said, I originally just tried to keep my head under the radar. I guess it's obvious now to everybody else around me that the fans, you know, would like to hear more from me. And so I'm slowly doing more, you know, as a co-host on the Meat Eater podcast, and I'm working on a project myself, that'll be hopefully coming out in 2020. I'm doing some smaller, just like less produced television that'll probably be coming out on YouTube in the upcoming months. So it's fun, you know. It's just it's different, and it can be. I'm just trying to make sure that my production responsibilities are backfilled before I go and step and go all out and try to do, you know, my own stuff in front of the camera and in front of the mic. You know what I mean? I don't want to leave like the stuff that I'm a big part of. I don't want to leave that stuff hanging moving forward.
Also, too, before we get into your podcaster's picks, I want to know more about the other podcasts that are under the Meat Eater umbrella. And I hope I'm not ruining your podcaster's picks, but I want to learn more about the shows under the Meat Eater umbrella.
No, not at all, man. We got a bunch of good ones, man. The Hunting Collective with Ben O'Brien. Ben loves to go deep into like the ethics. He loves to like really think about a lot of the topics and get both sides. And if it's, I don't want to say you have to be a hunter to understand everything that's going on there, but I have people that aren't hunters that listen to that podcast that love it because they just learn about how nuanced, you know, the hunting and the outdoor lifestyle is by listening to the Hunting Collective. We have Anchored with April Vokey, which is all fishing. We have Cal's Week in Review with Ryan Callahan. Big hit for us there. It's short compared to most other podcasts. It's only 20 minutes. But it's very, it's quick hits. It's much more produced. It's not an open conversation so much as it's Cal just sort of delivering you the weekly, wildlife and conservation news in a very like fun, witty way. Our good buddy Phil, the podcast engineer, does a really good job with the audio mixing and does fun sound effects in there. And it's nice because it balances out a lot of the longer form stuff where you really need to put in a couple, 3 hours sometimes to listen to it, where Cal's Week in Review, man, you got like 20-minute drive, boom, you know, there you go. You can get it from beginning to end. And I think he's up to like 25, 26 episodes now. Oh, 27, Phil says, and haven't heard a bad one yet. We have Wired to Hunt with Mark Kenyon, which is a very whitetail deer focused podcast. He's out of Michigan, and that guy, he's like the Neil deGrasse Tyson of whitetail deer. I mean, the guy is just like into it, man. Just like thinks about stuff that I would never think about to do to, you know, in the pursuit of whitetail deer. So for those people that like really, because whitetail deer is what most of the country hunts. I forget the exact numbers. I mean, there's like 6 million of them in the country. And that's what most people get to hunt that. Living out west, we have a lot more opportunities and variety of animals. But if you're east of the Mississippi and you're hunting big game, it's going to be whitetail deer for the most part. Cutting the Distance with Remy Warren, very technical, like how-to podcast about hunting. So for any level of hunter, from full beginner, never ever, you know, all the way to when I listen to it, I learned something. Remy's been around the mountain quite a few times, and the dude can speak to just about every situation, scenario a hunter could find themselves in and give you, you know, thoughts on how to do it better, a different approach, whatever it might be. He sort of sets it up with like a story of something that happened, and then he analyzes it and gives tips and tricks on, you know, how he did it, what made success, how he might have done it differently, et cetera, et cetera. So that about rounds us out, right, Phil? Yep, that does. So yeah, man, it's a lot to consume. I can tell you that, Corey.
No, let me tell you, man, I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing just in the structure alone of really be able to put together a collective of podcasts and a network of podcasts in a particular genre. And I know that my girlfriend's dad is going to be a big fan of everything that you listed off. So I can't wait to share all of this with him.
Oh, good.
When we
good.
Get off the phone. Giannis, we've come to a point in the podcast called Our Podcaster's Picks, and this is when I ask the special guests of today's show to give me their top three favorite podcasts that they enjoy that we should be listening to. So, Giannis, okay, take it away.
Well, first one I'm going to give you, man, it's like, I don't want to say I'm like giving up and giving like the easy answer, but if people like haven't heard about This American Life and Ira Glass, and I know that it's technically not a podcast, it's a radio program, but you can listen to it in podcast form now for free, you know, anytime you want. But I definitely look up to what he and his team do, and to have an audio product that is so good that, you know, that, and then just touches so many people. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're into, what color you are, like, that dude's program is just captivating, man. Like all of them, you know, you start in and, you know, an hour later, you're like, oh my gosh, that was awesome, you know? So I love This American Life. I think they do a fantastic job. Joe Rogan is probably the next one I listen to most often. I don't listen to all of Joe's. Joe's puts out a lot of episodes. And they're longer form, so I probably only listen to 1 out of 10, realistically. I try to pick out, you know, the guests that he has on that relate to me a little bit more of what I might be into. But Joe's an awesome interviewer, and he always seems to get into, like, stuff that you just would never think that these, you know, people would be talking about. So I'm always very entertained and learn something as well listening to Rogan's podcast. And finally, man, I'm going to throw it out to Ryan Callahan and Cal's Week in Review. If I could push everybody towards one other podcast other than the Meat Eater podcast to listen to under our umbrella, it would be Cal's Week in Review. Like I said earlier, you only need 20 minutes. And I believe that it's like same thing kind of how I said about Ira's content and his product. You get into it and before you know it, the 20 minutes is over and you're like, oh my God, I just spent 20 minutes listening to it. And I think for any content, whether it's visual, audio. That to me tells me that someone's doing it right is when it ends and you weren't expecting the end and you didn't notice that you spent, whether it's 20 minutes or an hour or 2 hours listening or watching, you know, you were captivated, you were engrossed, and you were entertained. So yeah, those are my top three right now.
And Giannis?
Yep.
Why do you podcast?
Why do I podcast?
Yep.
I podcast because it's my job. No. I do podcast now because it is my job. And as the producer and co-host and meat eater, that's how it started. I enjoy it. I enjoy having conversations with people that know more than I do and learning from them, especially people that are fired up and enthusiastic about whatever it is that they've chosen as their, you know, life study, so to speak. And that's probably like now, if I was to say why I'm going to continue to podcast, it's because of that. Like, we really get to, you know, meet some incredible people, learn about incredible things through them. The podcast I was telling you about that I'm going to be doing here, the project, I can leak a little bit here, is going to be a little bit more like a, I can call it now like an old-timey, there aren't many left, but like a call-in show where I'm going to be having conversations with people about their hunting experiences. And I think that podcasting is going to allow me to sort of give back a little bit. You know, I've learned a lot and had a great run with all this stuff over the last decade. And if there's people that want to ask questions and listen to what I have to say about it, I'm like very happy that I can give back that way.
Well, Giannis, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. This has been something that I've really enjoyed because you really are bringing a different perspective to the world of podcasting that I'm not used to and that I was unfamiliar with. And I'm so honored to be able to have you on the show and to learn about Meat Eater, learn about you. And thank you so much for giving back and contributing to the podcast space, man. I really appreciate you.
Hey, man, it was a pleasure to be on.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of OPP and to our special guest, Giannis Boutelis. You can listen to the Meat Eater podcast on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. This episode was mixed by Sixth Sense. The music for this episode was produced by Richie Quake. And are you down with OPP? If so, please be sure to leave me a 5-star rating in the Apple app and let me know your favorite podcast in the review section. Lastly, before we get out of here, check out my other show, Silent Giants, which highlights the superstars behind the scenes of popular culture. And you can find Silent Giants on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Well, I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. Pa bless y'all. Till next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.